host, John DePietro.
All right, here we go. The Power Hour has arrived. Good afternoon on this Monday. One and all, it's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Whether it's lunch or dinner, you can depend on them. We'll love the Lodge Pub and Eatery. What a crowd they had in there yesterday for the AFC Championship game. What a tremendous game and comeback by our New England Patriots. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Enjoy a unique rustic setting. Whether it's lunch or dinner, a great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Well, folks, it's not only a Monday, but political Monday. Joining us right now, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
You know, we haven't talked about it, but Justin, are you a big Patriot fan? I mean, you have to admit, that was a very exciting, compared to the second game where the Phillies destroyed the Vikings and the game was over at halftime, it was a very exciting AFC Championship game at Gillette, and the Patriots, once again, a fourth quarter comeback.
I don't know, I wasn't able to get all the dust off my television in time to watch the game. I'm actually not a big sports
all right.
fan.
Like I said, I've never asked you that before. But anyhow, before we get to the matter at hand about the governor, there is a part in political scene in this morning's Providence Journal, and they talk about that Speaker Nick Mattiello, and this is the tradition, right after the governor's State of the State, whoever the speaker is, has his annual fundraiser to kick off the fundraising. Justin, a crowd of 650 people came out, and apparently in that one night, and it's mandatory, everyone comes by, and it's like that scene in The Godfather where, you know, they have the purse open for the bride, and everyone comes by and gives the envelope. So Speaker Mattiello, who I believe already had, I think it was $325,000 for a job. Again, folks, keep in mind, this is a job where if you're the speaker, it pays between $25,000 and $30,000. The regular rep, I believe, gets around $15,000. But so, Justin, he raised in that one night. Raimondo went by. The labor leaders went by. All these different lobbyists go by and so forth. In one night, Mattiello stands at the door. Come on in. Da-da-da. The whole thing in downtown Marriott. Justin, $90,000 haul from Speaker Mattiello last week.
Well, it shows you the value of being speaker there, and how it shows you basically how central it is to our government has become to our entire doing business and everything you have to do in Rhode Island and across the country. I was in Washington last week for the March for Life, and there are cranes everywhere. We talk about cranes in the sky in Providence, and maybe there's one somewhere. They're everywhere building in Washington, because you have to be near government now, because government runs everything. They, on the whim of powerful people, they can take away your entire future or give you a future. And that's what people are recognizing. So even people who might now turn around and oppose him in a general election if he doesn't vote as they want, it's worth a few hundred bucks for them to show up and be seen there and give him some cash, because, you know, that's just the opening bid for participating in government in our supposedly a representative democracy.
I mean, think about it. 650 people. That's a lot of people to pack in on the Marriott on the Wednesday night. And, Justin, what's also interesting to me is, let's just say, whatever, you are a business leader and you want to have a meeting with him, or you're a lobbyist and you're trying to get, you could have the best intentions of the best client, but if people don't think that that doesn't factor in, those people are not there because the state is doing tremendous, he's doing a tremendous job, you're going to face tremendous wrath if you were not there to pay your respects and, as you say, at the very least, cut a check for like $250.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it weren't so, you know, they could pass a law requiring that all donations to politicians be anonymous or something like that. The whole point is to be seen there as somebody on the team. And it's a shame that we've allowed it to come to that, but it's really a function of government being so big and so involved in everything.
Now, let's get to Governor Raimondo unveiled her budget last week. State of the State. It was really, to me, a campaign speech. Just a $9.4 billion. The governor set the tone when she marched in with women. I thought there was some very visible tension between her and Speaker Mattiello, even though, of course, she did the right thing. She stopped by his fundraiser and made a donation. But I'd like to just start off with your thoughts on Governor Raimondo in her presentation and interpretation, I should say, of how the state is performing, even though, you know, some of the most high-profile things that are in play right now, she didn't even touch on.
Well, you know, politicians try to take credit for everybody else's work. I mean, that's just basically how they do it, and push away any blame for anything to happen. I don't know. And the way I frame this is I follow the employment numbers in Rhode Island very closely. And if you look at the month that Governor Raimondo's first budget came in into effect, so July 2015, it's just basically employment growth almost flatlines. So we were starting to see some growth, and in that month, for some reason, whoosh, that's it. Suddenly, people were no longer, the number of people being employed was not increasing at a very high rate at all. Or, not that it was doing so before, but it was almost no increase at all. And if my interpretation of that is people understand that they were hoping for some kind of change from prior governor, just policy change, a change in direction, a fresh air, a fresh perspective, and we're not getting that. And I think that's what we're seeing now with these speeches that play up the economy in a somewhat dishonest way, that take credit for even small programs that other people initiated, try to make it seem like everybody's getting something out of government, whether you're getting, what is it, college kids getting free child care, or small businesses being able to apply for loans in small amounts. All these things that make it look like they're doing something, but there's no change in direction. The budget basically is not so much a status quo budget as trying to just keep the whole game together, you know, not give up any power that government has, squeeze here for a little more revenue, squeeze there for a little more revenue, maybe put some co-pays on people getting welfare, healthcare, Medicaid, and just squeeze so that they can just keep going with the way things are done. And I think that's reflected in our employment numbers because people just don't see any real willingness to change. It's really all about just protecting the budget and protecting what's in the budget and the insiders who are going around giving out those checks at fundraisers.
You know, it was interesting, even just the lead up to her State of the State, you know, they had a very slick video. I still haven't found out from anyone. I've asked various individuals, Patricia Mori at the top of the list, who paid for that video. Was it a campaign video? Was it, you know, did we the people? Was it taxpayer funded? But to me, you know, there are a couple of items right now that are front and center. One is the PawSuck situation. The other is, it was the story of the year, which was the UHIP crisis. And the governor chose not to address either one. So I agree with you. And she's also known for those that don't pay attention. But it was that famous line in the debates that she was using against in the primary, especially Providence Mayor Angel Tavares. No cranes in the sky, economic malaise, and all this other stuff. What do you make of her marching in with, you know, she had a group of women, like, in front of her marching in, kind of setting the tone that it's the women that are running the state house, or whatever message that was?
Well, the first thought that comes to mind is that I thought I saw somewhere recently that Donald Trump has more women in his administration than any prior administration or something to that effect. You know, it's a show. She's trying to shore up her progressive base, and they are all about identity politics. The government can do a whole lot of damage to people as long as it plays to their sense of identity politics and tribal allegiances. And so that's when we see her, you know, falling back on that, offering the Democrat Women's Caucus a meeting space when they had a spiff with that party itself. That kind of thing. It's just, you know, what else has she really got but to play that up and try to capitalize on this identity politics movement? That's basically how I see it. I mean, it's not a shrewd political move, I don't think, in the long run, and it's certainly not a unifying kind of position to be. It's sort of like you see the signs at the women's marches say something like, the future is female, and, you know, that you're kind of leaving out half the population there that's apparently not included in the future. And I think the governor, I mean, she hasn't been playing up her segregated contest for school children where the boys aren't allowed to participate. She hasn't been playing that up as much in the past couple of years. But I think that card is starting to get a little bit worn, and I wonder if that'll really help her to keep playing it like that.
Not to get in, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. It's Political Monday. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, not to get into too much inside baseball, as they say, with the budget, but Ted Nesi, who is great on WPRI.com, I think he did a great job in breaking out the budget. And what I found just most, one of my takeaways is you're talking about, you know, Governor Raimondo, who, you know, went out of her way, you know, to get all this national press. She has all these different press people, and she graduated from Harvard and Yale Law and a Rhodes Scholar, and she was on that Fortune list, one of the top 50 leaders in the world, ranked 38th, and she had the thing 2 years ago where she wanted to go to Davios and then, you know, could not, and was even going to take the money out of the colleges to do it. So you have, you know, out on the campaign trail, she talks about progressive ideals, and we need to be bold and out of the box. And what does she have in her budget? The glue that is keeping her $9.4 billion budget, which is, to me, Justin, completely ridiculous. There's no way the state of Rhode Island needs a budget that is bigger than the budget of the state of New Hampshire. But a big part of that is, number one, online gambling being passed by the Supreme Court. And then, number two, she wants to quadruple the number of dispensaries in Rhode Island and have anyone that has a medical marijuana card from Connecticut or Massachusetts come into Rhode Island. And even the Journal headline had, basically it comes down to pot and gambling is the glue that is going to keep Governor Raimondo's budget proposal together for the new year.
Oh, yeah, and don't forget more taxes from cigarettes.
That's right, yes.
So you've got gambling, you've got pot, you've got cigarettes, you know, add in prostitution and we'll
the
balance
trifecta.
Our budget.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is, we're at the point where we're now, they're just trying to find any source of revenue. And it's really an example of how the government's no longer really serving people. It's just trying to find more money for itself. So whatever that takes, whether it's gambling, and I mean, I'm more or less libertarian on a lot of these issues as far as what people ought to be allowed to do. But if we're making all these things legal just so the government can come in and take money off it as if the government is replacing the mob, then I think we're heading in a bad direction. You hear the clip often, you know, is from the Crime Town podcast, you know, is Providence still Crime Town? And really what it's just become is that the government is stepping in to take over what mafioso used to do. And that's not a healthy way to go. And it's not going to improve our situation. It's a race to the bottom. Ultimately, I think your economy will keep falling apart as your entire structure is to take money from people's vices in order to pay for services that keep people dependent on government so that government can keep having an excuse to take money from everybody. It's just not a good way forward, especially if we're talking about, I mean, one very small item in all of this was a new tax on cloud computing. And so we're here talking about how we're spending money and campaigning to get Amazon to put their services in Rhode Island. We're trying to have this high-tech hub on I-95 land, 195 land, all this stuff. We want the right kind of jobs, the jobs of the future. And, you know, we're imposing taxes on some key technology in that piece. And it's a small thing, but it really does point to this. There's no coherence to the plan.
That is exactly right. You know what else, Justin, is? So, you know, Chafee started as an independent, and it is a Democrat. Raimondo, obviously a Democrat, she's coming up. So we are in the year that this will be 8 years that we've had a Democrat as the governor between Chafee leading into Raimondo. And three words come up just constantly. And those that do not follow other states or don't travel, or and the words are deficits and painful cuts. That's all you keep hearing. We're going to have to sharpen our pencils because there's deficits and painful cuts. Deficits and painful cuts. At no point do they ever think maybe the system and the way we're doing it, maybe this isn't the right way to do it. Maybe it's wrong. It doesn't even come close to we are going to start to cut. And we're going to start to cut things that are going to make more sense, be more business friendly, more competitive with our neighboring states, Massachusetts and Connecticut. To me, it's just like a broken record. And the thing about Raimondo, who is in her fourth year as governor, who came in with so much promise, the general treasurer, first female governor, promising all this change, did make reform with pension reform, it has really become just a different jockey on a dead horse. It is unfortunately, the whole budget process had, to me, has seemingly become, you know, the expression of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I mean, it is. It absolutely is. This is, as you said, they come up with all these different tricks and gimmicks and what if this doesn't happen? And this would be no way to run a business. It certainly is no way to run a state.
Yeah, well, the impression you get, and the reason I think our economy is responding to the government by not growing, is the big priority is we just have to keep this thing going. And that's not if your goal is to thrive, that's not the way to do it. You almost get the impression, on a political sense, that the governor has, it's almost like she ran a play in football, and she got to the opening, and the ball's not there for her to catch. You wonder if there's some, you know, with Donald Trump winning instead of Hillary Clinton, maybe a Senate seat hasn't opened up. She was hoping that we would open up or something like that. You're wondering if maybe, at this point, is the plan didn't really extend this far. And so she's just trying to keep it going, looking for some future opportunity politically. But that's not for the state. For the state, we're just hoping for a miracle at this point.
And you know what? It's funny you said that, because that was her slogan throughout the night, you know, let's keep it going, as if let's keep the momentum going. The people, I think, of the state are smarter than that. They know, listen, if you want to see what a winning team looks like, you look at Gillette Stadium. And that is a group of individuals that have come together with a common goal and have put together something monumental, hugely successful. And or you look at the way that Governor Baker is running Massachusetts. Now, right now, on this date, on Monday, January 22nd of 2018, right now, Justin, to me, the dynamic in the race for governor has not changed, where it is still Governor Raimondo unchallenged, a primary of, you know, I know people want to say Giovanni Ferrosi, but we still have a long way to go. I don't know enough about anyone. And I'm not trying to be unkind, but anyone can just say they're going to run for governors. Chris Young or whatever has proven many different times. You need money, you need signatures, you need name recognition, you need a track record. Right now, it just seems to still be the primary of Patricia Morgan and Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. And Joe Trillo is going to be, still running as the independent. So the dynamic remains. Fung is the favorite. Morgan trying to challenge him on that. Raimondo unchallenged, and then Trillo, waiting in the wings to run as the independent. Right now, I mean, you know, the window is closing. Do you see any dynamic changing between that I just explained, between now and June 1st, when by that time it's now or never?
I haven't seen much. We don't have a whole lot of political figures who are prominent in Rhode Island who could jump in and change things substantially. At this point, even the moderate party, there's no Bob Healey for them to pull out of the wings. I guess Ken Block has some name recognition and could get some attraction, but I don't know that he changes things much differently than having Joe Trillo as a spoiler in your independent slot.
And I don't get any vibe from Block that he, you know, otherwise that unknown guy that runs the moderate party now said he would just run as the ticket. But, you know, there's a couple people who always just run as an independent. But I just don't see any element of that dynamic changing.
Yeah, there's not. And there are no strange, for a state that really loves its reality TV stars, it's strange that we don't have any kind of celebrities or high profile people who would be even thought of as maybe jumping in, which might tell us something about how people who know what they're doing view government in Rhode Island, and they don't want to go anywhere near it. So I suspect we're just going to see attrition coming down to, you know, the two, maybe three, I mean, two, me, I say two, hoping that Joe Trillo doesn't turn out to be a spoiler in the independent slot, but it looks like the race is pretty much set at this point, and it's just going to be everybody, you know, playing their game and seeing where it comes out. There's always room for a surprise, but that looks like it's where it's going to be. I mean, Go Local Prov had just an indication. I think they petitioned a poll from a Harvard pollster named Volpe, and they asked about Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, and basically over 50% said who. So, I mean, that's basically the landscape in politics in Rhode Island. So that's one of the reasons I think Alan Fung is the front runner, mainly because he at least got past the who question last time around. But there just aren't a lot of people in the wings who might change the dynamic.
He did, and he got 36% of the vote. He got 119,000 votes. She got 131. Healy got 76. You take Trillo out of the mix, and Fung certainly is very strong against her in a head-to-head matchup. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateGuard.com. Justin, there was a lot of pushback towards the governor, and I think it kind of threw her, and I was glad the media covered it, but the Fung people had a short video out prior to it. They were tweeting during her speech. Patricia Morgan came out firing gun blazers. Trillo even issued a thing. Do you think creates the mayor, Alan Fung, and let's just treat him as what he is right now, which he is the favored in the Republican primary. He did commission a poll. They released it. Some people thought it was a mistake, because then that showed Trillo at 10%, and maybe that made him jump independent. His poll showed Patricia Morgan at 25%. Maybe that encouraged her. But being that as it may, do you think, are the Fung people making a mistake by right now not going to, so to speak, cut off the head of Trillo? They are kind of ignoring him right now. They've been a little sparring back and forth, but for the most part, ignoring him. Do you think they're making a mistake in not, right now, Fung, trying to label him, kind of knock him out with a punch right now, as opposed to they seem to be ignoring him, very, very calculated, you know, we need to get through the primary with Morgan, and allowing him to basically run, there's no one firing off at Joe Trillo right now.
I don't see much in it for the Fung people to go after Trillo right now. I mean, they can't really kill him off. Maybe if we had some better sense of why he's running as an independent, they could tackle him in a way that would go to that. But if he's just running for some additional reason and running as an independent, he's not really a quantity to address until after the primary. And to the extent that the Fung people start picking a fight with Trillo, who's bombastic. And his statement on the governor's speech was something like, this is the worst budget ever to be submitted to the state of Rhode Island, which is kind of extreme. I think it's a bad proposal, but the worst, I mean, it's almost too bland to be the worst. It's like calling, you know, like cauliflower the worst food in the world. So I think they're probably right to more or less ignore him. I think they could be stronger out there in a positive sense for Fung, because that's the capital they ought to be building right now, is the positive impression of Mayor Fung. And right now, well before really the people start going negative. If the governor's budget is bland and doesn't seem to be encouraging of a change of direction, they could have a different policy that really highlights the difference. I think that they could focus more there, but as far as going after Trillo, I don't see much advantage to that at this point.
You know what's also interesting, Justin, is We've been hearing, you know, Chafee may run, he may run. I don't think he's running. He has said he would run as a Democrat. We're approaching February. I think if he truly felt that he had the support of the progressives, which I get the sense he does not, in fact, they've basically, Ruggenberg and some of the others have said they're with Raimondo, so Smiley has kept them tight. I don't think he's going to run. Even though Walsh, Bob Walsh, threatened, you know, I may run, and or, you know, we're still looking for someone, and help wanted sign out, someone, a real Democrat to run, and he even threatened on, I think, on public television, I may run myself. The same thing, Labor put out an email to their members, basically telling them to boycott the Mattiello fundraiser because he was not playing ball with the Paw Sox. And as Political Scene in the Providence Journal says, there they are prominent. Walsh was there, Nee was there, you know, all the usual Labor suspects were there. I know some people are mystified, but I don't see any Democrat that is going to challenge her in a primary. And it is, other than the amount of money that she has, she really has not done anything that makes her in. I still think if the right candidate was, whoever that might be, challenged her in a primary, that she is beatable. But right now, it would seem that Governor Raimondo is going to run unchallenged and then only has to worry about the general election.
Well, yeah, from a general public point of view, she does seem to be beatable. The money is not is easy to overcome, relatively easy to overcome in a small market like Rhode Island. But one thing that she's done is, with so much being dependent on insiders and those relationships, she has kind of positioned herself well. So she has some reputation. It's increasingly clear it's not deserved, but as a managerial type with some relatively conservative instincts in the business sense, so that she's kind of gotten some elbow room in that regard. She's doing the identity politics thing, and she's clearly thinks of the world in a progressive way, so she's kind of, and she's certainly paid off and hired progressives enough to send the word, hey, I'm your friend. So she's got that kind of angle. So it's not that she's not beatable, but she's sort of the other people, the other insiders who might capitalize on that weakness really don't have all that much incentive to do it, especially with things like Paw Sox hanging over them or you know, $1 billion school construction program that's in the mix. You know, nobody on the inside wants to disrupt that apple cart. And so she may find herself running without much opposition.
Well, it's just funny. And again, there are a couple of people who have nothing to lose who at least you would think could have maybe challenged her in a primary. And again, he's not that popular, but Attorney General Peter Kilmartin is term limited out. There were some people that were trying to get him to run against her. He obviously has declined. Chafee, of course, was someone that stepped up. People thought he could get progressives. I have a Democrat insider keeps telling me he could get those real progressives from the east side, but he is not budging into that. I do think that you know, whenever these things roll around, people then say, you know, maybe someone like a Bob Wagon, who's been out of the spotlight for some time, seems pretty comfortable in his role down at URI, but definitely more of a traditional Democrat could come in. But other than that, people had maybe hoped for a rematch with Angel Tavares. That obviously is not going to happen. But that means, Justin, that Governor Raimondo is going to be sitting on close to $4 million that she can unload the day after the Republican primary. That you're not talking about having to spend $1 million to win the primary. $4 million that you unleash, you know, on whoever the winner is of the Republican primary. That's a lot of money. $4 million in a state this size in a period of 60 days.
Not only that, but emerging from the primary season without having alienated a large number of people who you want as your supporters.
Yes, exactly.
So that puts her in a pretty good position there. And so politically, she's positioned herself well and going for the, you know, the national money from donors across the country is a winning strategy potentially in that regard. But as I said, in a state like Rhode Island with an uninspiring governor like she's been, the money can only go so far. You know, like if you go positive, and she'll try to present herself as positive, everything starts. You're only really reinforcing the phoniness of it. You know, if UHIP is still struggling and the economy isn't catching on, especially if the rest of the country is having a boom that's kind of passing us by, all the happy talk is not going to go very far, no matter how many times you... In fact, the more you put your face doing happy talk in front of a public that doesn't believe it, the less they believe you and the less they like you. On the other hand, going negative does have some backlash effects. So, you know, if you drop $4 million into negative campaigning, I don't know where that goes. I mean, it's kind of tough, especially against a relatively known quantity like, say, Alan Fung, who's been a mayor, had some success there, ran last time. So it's not like if a private businessman were running for the first time and you could drop a $4 million, you know, to tell everybody he's a terrible person, because people don't have context for that. So there's only so much the money can do. I think that the unity of the left, behind her, Democrats and, you know, center left to far left, and the division on the right, with especially with Trillo running independent, I think that's still the biggest dynamic in all of this.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Governor Raimondo, I think she puts a huge amount of money into the ground game, and I mean the get out the vote, the mail balloting. You and I have talked in the past what went down in Newport back in the spring or summertime with the special election. You could see that. You know, that was a matter. Somebody was paid $4,000, $8,000 to get a certain number of votes. This could become, you know, someone putting up $1 million, $1.5 million to pay people to go out, notarize ballots, get the people out to vote. Let me ask you before our time is up. Folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Speak with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, what do you make of the two other topics I want to ask you about? What do you make of the Women's March on Saturday? To me, it was an anti-Trump march. Especially here in Rhode Island, you have a female governor. You know, granted, yes, the whole Harvey Weinstein, Me Too, that whole thing was very, very powerful. The dynamic has changed. But, you know, where were these voices when President Obama was in office? And Governor Raimondo to be there, and all these women standing up at the Rhode Island State House steps and saying, I'm tired of being treated as second-class citizen, and we're treated unfairly, and racism. And Raimondo has been the governor. You know, she won in November of 14. It's January of 2018. I just don't understand that the person that you could be taking your argument to is standing right there in the crowd cheering with you. You would almost think that, like, you know, Bruce Sondland or Donald Trump were the governor of Rhode Island. I'm just lost on the whole thing, other than it seemed to be anti-Trump women from the white women from the suburbs at the State House on Saturday.
Well, the messaging is getting a little obvious. I mean, I have to think that the average person who actually catches wind of all this looks at it in a strange light. For the reasons you point out, one of the local media outlets, I forget which one, quoted an 11-year-old girl who was at the march saying that, you know, girls have to stay in the background and boys get all the attention. And that's certainly not my experience as somebody, you know, in the community and with children in schools. And I mean, with the governor running, as I said earlier, the girls only contest. So that's one area where people, you know, all right, that doesn't quite resonate because it doesn't seem to be real. And then another, I mean, they had one, I think it was a transvestite activist speaking, saying that, I found it difficult to understand the message, but saying something to the effect of abortion being critical to trans rights. And that, I think most people watching this stuff, it's hard to process this messaging. And so what it becomes is just that overt political rally. You know, you could almost throw any sayings in there. What's interesting to me is comparing it to other rallies. As I said, I was at the March for Life, but something like 100,000 people in Washington, very little coverage in the mainstream news media. Or you compare it with the Tea Party. All those rallies, I know you spoke at, I spoke at one, I know you spoke at least one, right? the news media would go out across the country and try to find people who were weird in the crowd, with the message being, don't join these weird people. Now you've got, you know, heavy coverage. It's all about empowerment and speaking up, and it's your voice. One TV news, I think, in a different city had actually was putting up maps, and here's how you get there and how you participate. You park over here. So they're really all this promotion to get to this, to promote these rallies, and mainly as an anti-Trump political ploy. And the messaging is just bizarre, I would think, to the normal common ear of Americans. It's an interesting moment, but I have a feeling it's going to fizzle, and I suspect it's largely driven by money people are pouring in to organizers to get these things going.
I would agree with you. And then finally, before we let you go, it is incredible that where this continues to go on regarding the Plus Sox. I guess over the weekend now, they're taking it right to the Speaker's district. This thing has just dragged on for so long. I heard he got his head handed to him when he tried to have a caucus to say put it on the ballot, where the legislators are against anything like that, because then it takes away a lot of their power with things going forward. If what do we need them for if we're just going to put everything on the ballot? And he kind of backed off it. But I'll tell you, Mattiello is the lone wolf on this whole thing, as far as, because obviously Ruggiero's for it, Raimondo's for it. You know, she keeps saying it's going to be a good deal for people, but whatever his motivations may be, Mattiello is still the one that is blocking this Plus Sox thing from going forward.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier the Go Local Prov poll. They found more than 2-1 opposition in the public to this deal. This issue is really shaping up to be a pretty clear test of the public versus the insiders. And that's why, as cynical as I am, I'm not so sure that Mattiello is waiting for a better offer from the insiders and his fellow insiders, rather. I think there's a real question of how far those insiders can go pushing a deal that nobody else wants. And it's going to be a real test. And it's encouraging, I think, that at least one of our triumvirate, you know, the Senate president, this governor, and the Speaker of the House, who run the state, basically, I think it's encouraging that at least one of them is standing up. At this point, I'm just kind of hoping that the people get to win one, because if we don't, it's not like, it's just like the governor's budget, getting us through a year is not going to make anything better next year. Same thing here. Getting this one insider deal, this deal across the plate, is only going to make things worse in the future, make it harder to run things, and create public dissatisfaction even more. So I'm hoping that Mattiello is responding to the people, and I'm hoping that's his motivation, and I'm hoping that it turns out to be the victorious side, because there's only so much more cynicism I think the people of Rhode Island can take.
I would agree with you. Folks, he's the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. He's Justin Katz. Justin, great job. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Look forward to it. Thanks, John.
All right, folks, there you go. Justin Katz, Political Monday, brought to you by Overhead Door Garage Headquarters. Remember, call them, the team you need. It's OHD. It's Overhead Door. Well, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. You can call in 766-1380, 766-1380. I want to remind you that if you find yourself in an accident, call our friends at West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340, 272-3340, West Fountain Auto Body. Whether it's a small dent or nearly totaled vehicle, you can depend on West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. They're going to work for you, not the insurance company at West Fountain Auto Body. It's Kenny, it's Patricia. They will restore your vehicle, showroom-like condition, absolutely fantastic, West Fountain. They're the best. Give them a call. If you were in an accident, and it can happen, it can be an illegal alien, it can be someone slips on snow and ice or rain or people texting and driving, not paying attention, call West Fountain Auto Body today, 272-3340, 272-3340 for West Fountain Auto Body. Now, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Hello to all on Facebook Live. So the big news of the today, they're back. The government shutdown is over. It would appear the Republicans have won. So you're going to hear more about that coming up in the 2 o'clock news. Most Americans, I don't think it affected them. So a lot of inside politics, but the Trump people holding very, very strong on immigration and not backing down. But for now, it looks like everything's going to be reopened and the immigration, excuse me, the government shutdown will come to an end. K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today. Wouldn't you like to get some cash for a junk car that you have? Well, call Karen and her staff at K&R Auto Salvage. 353-9200. 353-9200. K&R Auto Salvage. Large facility offering used car parts. They also buy junk cars, auto wrecks, family business, close to 30 years serving their customers. It's K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today. 353-9200, located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence. Go with the leader. Go with the best. They'll pay you cash for your junk car, the most money for your junk car. You can rely on K&R Auto Salvage and 80% off retail prices. K&R, 353-9200. And also right now, the tremendous opportunity for you at K&R Auto Salvage. They're looking to hire both a tow truck driver and a salesperson. Contact K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200, 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence. They're right off of Mineral Spring Avenue. It's K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200. Folks, Political Monday, and it's brought to you by Overhead Door Garage Headquarters. If you missed it, we will have it posted. If you go to WNRI.com, WNRI.com, and then under John DePietro Podcast, we'll have it posted there. The three different hours of the program are always posted right there. Just go to WNRI.com. Well, good afternoon on, obviously, this is a big Monday. Everyone's celebrating the Patriot victory. And also, President Trump, a big win. As the government shutdown is over, they were not the ones that had to cave. So it is a big day indeed. You can call in 766-1380. You can email me, john@depietro.com. john@depietro.com. Folks, we're also getting a break. I mean, the rain is better than snow, and the temperatures are definitely milder this week, without question. Yesterday was actually a beautiful day.
It's where you live, a New England home. Give it a look, that's all its own. Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Well, proud sponsors of Political Monday are our friends at Garage Headquarters. Call them today, 877-62-GARAGE, or online, garageheadquarters.com. Remember, whether it's service or an investment-grade door, it's a great investment in your home. It provides better insulation. Go with the original. Go with the best, serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. You can also see some of the doors online at garageheadquarters.com, but they are number one in service, Garage Headquarters. Call them today, 877-62-GARAGE, 877-62-GARAGE.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Remember, only Garage Headquarters delivers the fastest local service. Call them by noon for service today, and if they're not there by 5 o'clock, it's free and backed by the best door price guarantee. You can't buy a better door for a better price. Go with the number one, Garage Headquarters. More doors, more selection, best door price value, and when you've been in business longer, better technicians, more warehouses, more trucks on the road than any other company in Rhode Island and Southeastern Mass. And when you need that door service, call Team Grace, the number one since 1973.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
All right, we're back on this Monday. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's Juan. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Breaking news. End of shutdown. The Senate has broken. And it looks like, boy, that is big news. The big news on this Monday, of course, the Patriots rematch with the Eagles. Well, Eagles get a rematch against the Patriots in Super Bowl 52. That will be in Minnesota coming up in 2 weeks. And then that was the Patriots did face them in Jacksonville in 2005. I attended that Super Bowl. It was a great Super Bowl. Those Eagle fans, if you go, especially if you go on Twitter or go online, those Eagle fans, it was absolute sheer chaos in Philadelphia last night. And they, but I'll tell you, they, the Eagles are always in the mix. They are. They have an unbelievable fan base. They're real animals. The Philly fans, Philadelphia Eagle fans are, they're tough. And they were tough against the Vikings yesterday. I was laughing. Throwing things at the Vikings bus as the Vikings were pulling out of town. I mean, it's bad enough that you lose, but then the fans of the team are mocking you, and they're like throwing beer bottles at them and climbing the telephone poles, and the Philadelphia police tried to grease. They put grease on the poles to try to stop people from climbing up on the telephone poles in the downtown area. But then fans were helping other fans get above the grease. So then they just, I mean, it was just complete mayhem. But they will be making their way. No question about it. They will be making their way to Minnesota for the Super Bowl. Big time. Boy, the Vikings just, you know, they played their game. When you have that type of a win, it's tough to bounce back. That was a that was an incredible win that they had just to get to that game against the Saints. And so, but if you're the NFL, New England against Philadelphia, that's a pretty good Super Bowl. That is definitely a pretty good Super Bowl. It could have been, think about it, it could have been Minnesota against Jacksonville. So they certainly didn't want that. Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. I want to remind you about our friends at Paul Massey. Paul Massey Chevrolet, they are fantastic. Rhode Island's number one Chevrolet dealer. Right now, they're looking to set new records in the new year with one prices that save you time and money. Current GM leases can save you over $10,000 on a Silverado All-Star Double Cab, four-wheel drive or lease. That's right, $289 a month, 39 months, only $2,488 total due at signing, and there's over 200 to choose from. Silverado, Colorado, Equinox, Traverse, Trax, Tahoe, Suburban, every budget, every need. Paul Massey has the area's best selection, most professional staff to assist you in finding the right vehicle for you. And remember, you're indoors. It's an indoor experience with the indoor showroom. Stop in and see them. They're the best. Paul Massey, and always online at paulmassey.com. Now, tomorrow on the show, good afternoon, everyone. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have Jeff Deal. He is running against, Republican running against, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. The Boston Globe over the weekend had a piece, Elizabeth Warren, Native American problem goes beyond politics. She has been unable to shed it. They write, there's a ghost haunting Elizabeth Warren as she ramps up for a possible presidential bid in a reelection campaign in Massachusetts this year. Her enduring and undocumented claims of Native American ancestry. Folks, she is a fraud. She is a complete fraud, and we'll talk to Jeff Deal about it tomorrow, but she is. It is something she can't shake. She doesn't get any support. Native Americans are not happy with her either, and we'll get into it a little bit tomorrow, but the Globe story did a good job of why did she list herself as a minority for all those years, and it's also going to be effective with President Trump going after her. So, and calling her Pocahontas and everything else. But she is a fraud's fraud, without question. And, but this thing that they try to ignore, it will not go away. Elizabeth Warren, who basically has advanced her academic career because she checked the box and said that she was a Native American. And everyone knows that she's not a Native American. Now, I mentioned this Saturday, I upgraded. I upgraded to the iPhone 8. And where did I do it? I did it with our friend Sal
and Metro PCS. And right now, I encourage you to do it. They have fantastic price on unlimited data for the whole family. You get four lines, unlimited data, just $100 when you switch to Metro PCS. No more data caps. Plus, you get to choose four free smartphones, brands like Samsung, LG, Motorola, when you switch four lines to Metro PCS. Folks, I stopped in. Sal couldn't have been more terrific. He transferred everything from my old phone to my new phone. I am so thrilled that I switched with Sal with Metro PCS. Now, he has five great locations. Do what I did. And he transferred everything. Different pictures I had, video, everything got switched over. The difference is now I have tremendous, well, with the iPhone 8, I have a lot more memory and room. Remember, 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston, right next to the Rite Aid, you'll find Sal with Metro PCS. He has five locations, 989 Manton Avenue in Providence. And I think, as a matter of fact, I think this is him now. He did a tremendous job on Saturday. Is this our friend Sal at Metro PCS?
There you are, JD. Good afternoon.
I can't thank you enough. That was absolutely fantastic on Saturday. Folks, Sal met me. We were at the Atwood Avenue and Johnson location, right next to Johnson Town Hall. Smith Street in North Providence is another location. And then you were initially going to meet at the Pike, 1553 right. Plainfield Pike in Johnson. We settled on Atwood Avenue with Johnson. And, Sal, I am so happy I switched over with you with Metro PCS, and it couldn't have been less painless.
I'm glad you made the switch. I mean, it was very easy. You told me you needed to be there at a particular time. We met, but you switched over. You had an older iPhone from another company. And, you know, it was easy. We wanted to make sure everything was switched over. And I think I got everything over, right? Everything looks good on your phone so far?
Everything is fantastic. Folks, everything couldn't have been easier. I was a little bit, I don't know. It's just a bit nervous. Boom. Not a problem in any way. And, folks, I am so glad now I switched over to Metro PCS and upgraded my phone with Sal.
That's right. You get the iPhone 8, you get the latest and greatest.
Much faster.
Much quicker. You can get to your Twitter and your Facebook much easier and quicker now. No lag. You're going to have plenty of memory in that phone. And the best part, you're going to be paying $50 a month, $50 period, tax included. So it can't get any easier than that. But, you know, I'm happy you made the switch. I'm glad you made time. And, I'm very confident you're going to be very happy with it going forward.
Now, folks, Sal also has, maybe there's someone listening, I just needed one line. But, Sal, you have an opportunity right now for people that maybe need four lines.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, the four lines are still going. Actually, the four lines for 100 actually is come. It ended, but it is coming back next week. But right now, we have the 2 for $80. Two lines for $80.
2 for $80. I like the sound of that.
Yes, 2 for $80. So two lines, $80 period, plus you're going to get two free awesome smartphones with that, with 32 gigabytes of memory when you make the switch to Metro PCS. So there hasn't been a better time. Metro PCS is going to give you twice the memory on any free phone that's out there. You're going to have unlimited, just like what you have, unlimited 4G LTE data. So more for your pictures, videos, apps such as Simple Radio, TuneIn Radio, Instagram, whatever you like to do. You're going to have the ability to do that and much, much more with these awesome smartphones from Metro PCS.
Folks, call Sal at 332-5051. Thank you, Sal. 332-5051. Switch over with Sal and Metro PCS. It's John DePietro. Enjoy this Monday. We're back tomorrow at 11. I'll have Jeff Deal. The John Dion Show is next. Stay tuned right here at AM 1380 and 95.1 FM. And it's enjoy this Monday, WNRI.